The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Mixed Emotions Thursday edition. How you doing, little buddy?
Fantastic. Why have mixed emotions,
buddy? I always have mixed emotions joining you on the airwaves.
Yeah. Good to be with you as well. Rich, thank you. Working the board. Of course, our audience. Happy, happy Friday Eve to us all.
I'll tell you some of the stories that have me on a roller coaster, Tom. But first, here's one. I consider this good news. Oh, yeah. We've got a jury. They have seated a jury in the Trump, they're calling it the hush money trial. I prefer the voter deception trial in New York. And apparently we've got a jury plus one. They need plus six, right? They're looking for six alternatives, but they've got a full jury, according to the Washington Post. I've seen it widely reported suddenly, Dom. It's like they got some work done on this Thursday. They took Wednesday off, refreshed. Recharged, and, you know, after losing a couple of jurors today, we've apparently added back.
Which is great, but there's lots of things to discuss about that. We didn't just lose a couple of jurors. One of the jurors was concerned that she, I believe was a female, was identified after Jesse Waters kind of broke down the background characteristics of this particular juror. Apparently, over since between Tuesday and today, some of her family reached out, questioned whether or not it was actually her. And so she's concerned about that, wondered if she could be partial going forward. So one of those is out. Gotta wonder. Not only did Jesse Waters bring it up, but then Trump on his Truthy Social kind of retyped out, hey, these liberal jurors, yada, 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 which to my count, according to the reported I've seen as well, the seventh violation of his gag order. And apparently there will be a hearing on the gag order. And by the way Trump's going, he'll have about 20 or 30 more before next Tuesday when the hearing on the gag order actually occurs.
Dom,
great news. 12 jurors plus one, waiting for five more.
Merchant declared, we have a jury.
We have a jury.
Dom, it's also been declared unwise. Legal experts stunned by Trump's latest disrespect of potential jurors. Donald Trump stayed seated Thursday morning as those around him in the New York court stood to be introduced to potential jurors. You know, he doesn't have to stand up. Standing up's for suckers, Dom. A show of respect that is traditional. Well, he doesn't respect them. Reporters described a table full of people on the defense side who immediately stood and faced the jury. Trump didn't stand. Lawfare editor Tyler McBrien cited the details, reading, when the defense is introduced to the potential jurors seated in the audience, Trump does not stand up like his legal team does to turn and face them. Maybe he was sleeping, Dom. Now, former federal prosecutor Renato Mariotti, who has been in criminal law for more than 20 years, said it's the first time he's ever seen that happen. Well, Trump's a unique defendant. He wrote on the Twitter, I've never observed a defendant refuse to stand and face the jury. Any competent lawyer would tell their client that his fate is in the jury's hands and they will watch everything he does. Trump's disrespect for the jury is unwise. That's where the quote comes from, Dom. Now, legal analyst Allison Gill wondered if Trump had fallen asleep again. Yeah, that was my question. Political media buyer Nicholas Wolf was similarly shocked but further amazed that the judge didn't do anything. This judge might end up being the worst of them all so far. Who doesn't stand up for the jury in their own damn courthouse? Thus far, Trump has been accused of making failed threats against a witness and the jurors themselves. While there will be a hearing next week, the judge has done little thus far to curb the defendant's behavior, Dom. Little done to curb, but we have a jury, according to Justice Juan Merchan. And my understanding, they're going to try to lock down the alternatives, the additionals.
The other six.
The other five, they've got one. So if they can knock off five alternative jurors tomorrow, we've got opening statements. We've got a trial starting on Monday, Dom.
And Trump, very concerned, while we were going on air, he was in front of the courthouse with many thick stacks of paper, papers, criticizing the fact that this trial was even happening.
Look at all my paper. Why is this trial happening? I have many papers.
Many papers of people who say this trial shouldn't happen. It's a shame. It's a shame.
Where did he keep those papers, Dom? In the spare bathroom at Mar-a-Lago with the classified documents?
He doesn't have any room there, man. Maybe in the bedroom. I don't know if Melania is there these days. But to my point, after reports about Trump jurors, judge demands restraint from the press.
Why is it our fault?
Some news reports have included details about jurors that have been aired in open court. One was excused after she developed concerns while being identified. A little bit here from the New York Times. The judge in former President Trump's criminal trial ordered reporters, that's you, Crudy, not to disclose employment information about potential jurors after he excused a woman who said she was worried about her identity becoming known. The woman, who had been seated on the jury on Tuesday, told the judge that her friends and colleagues had warned her that she had been identified as a juror in the high-profile case. Although the judge has kept prospective jurors' names private, some have disclosed their employers and other identifying information in court. She also said that she did not believe she could be impartial. The judge promptly dismissed her. Moments later, Merchan, the judge, ordered the press to not report the answer to two queries in a lengthy questionnaire for prospective jurors, who is your current employer, and who was your prior employer. Those are not to be reported on from the judge. The judge also said he was concerned about news outlets publishing physical descriptions of prospective or seated jurors, asking reporters to simply apply common sense. It serves no purpose, Justice Merchan said, about publishing physical descriptions, adding that he was directing the press to refrain from writing about anything you observe with your eyes.
Juror 69 was a small man, short, wearing a black t-shirt, said it was slimming.
So, you know, very problematic, you know, and this is Trump along with Fox News out there outing these jurors. And if Trump's already violated this thing seven times already, presumably they'll happen more before Monday. I mean, before Tuesday, when the hearing about Trump's violations of the gag order are actually to be.
844.
Needs to spend some time in the pokey. He needs to spend overnight. Just put him in the court cell and leave him there overnight. Give him a little mattress, you know, give him three hots and a cot, or so he can evaluate his, you know, behavior going forward.
House arrest not sufficient for you, Salvia?
No, absolutely not. Come on. Well, one of the reasons we're in this position is because people keep giving the guy a break. You keep doing it, he's going to keep doing it. You got to stop it. He cannot be allowed to do this. His allies at Fox News cannot be allowed to out the anonymous jury, man. What is the point of that? Well, of course, to intimidate. That's the point. And if you're ultimately concerned about, oh, the physical violence that might happen if that happens, well, you know what? It may happen anyway. So let's just get to it. If the guy, you cannot be worried about whether or not the Trump supporters are going to charge the mound. They already did it. Let's assume it's going to happen. The point is to uphold the rule of law, to stop the guy from intimidating, to stop his media allies at Fox Not News from outing and intimidating potential jurors. It's terrible. We need to stop holding his guy above the law.
Dominic, a statement from the former president post-jury selection this afternoon, as reported by CNN and by the devil's advocates here. Former President Trump lamented, I tell you, Dom, he's got mixed emotions, that he's sitting in a Manhattan courtroom all day to attend his hush money, I call it voter deception trial, while he should be traveling across the country to campaign as part of the presidential run in 2024. A quote from the former Dom. I'm supposed to be in New Hampshire. I'm supposed to be in Georgia. I'm supposed to be in North Carolina, South Carolina. I'm supposed to be in a lot of different places campaigning. But I've been here all day on a trial that really is a very unfair trial. He said as he came out of the courtroom from the day's proceedings. A little bit more, Trump held up copies of what he claims were numerous media stories. Stories that have legal experts saying, this is not a case. The case is ridiculous. Well, I don't care how many times you print out Jonathan Turley and John Solomon, man. You got your two sources. You can print plenty of copies, but they're unconvincing. Now, Trump held up copies, as we talked about, of the stories. He continued to read the headlines out loud. The copies were not immediately visible and made available for viewing to reporters as he spoke. You know, accuracy, not his hallmark, Dom. Trump also complained about how cold the courtroom is. Well, if it was so damn cold, how are you sleeping in there? Right. I'm sitting here for days now, from morning till night, in that freezing room. Freezing. Everybody was freezing in there.
Come on, man. You think that's bad, man? Wait till you see the jail cell you're going to be in.
I've never heard a guy complain about freezing. Like, it's cold in the courtroom. You know, the average defendant's a little hot under the collar. Dom, how this man can nap in these conditions, I don't know.
It's hard. He's a special human being, Michael.
You know who else is a special human being? Other than you, Dom, of course. I always knew you were special. Derek Van Orden. Wisconsin's own. You know, he's back in the headlines today. Yes. He's name-calling.
Republican. He's name-calling Republicans. This guy has no friends.
Well, the only thing they ever call us is the greatest radio show ever. Come back for it. Be a part. 844-967-2789. It's a Mixed Emotions Thursday edition. You'll laugh. You'll cry.
I'm not crying.
You'll be crying.
You'll be crying. There's no crying in radio.
Well, when you do it.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday Eve to us all. Join us on the lines if you got any thoughts today. 844-967-2789. I didn't know what that was, man. I guess I wasn't a Teletubbies guy.
I knew that you would not be a good parent. I suspected as much. I even made that comment aloud to Rich before we played it. Like, you know, those of us that raised young children did our part with the DVR.
Oh man, I know Nemo, man. I know Adventure Time. It's not Tim Rantham time. It's Adventure Time. You know, and I know Dora the Explorer. It just wasn't the Teletubbies. Just wasn't, you know, one of ours.
That didn't prevent Derek Van Orden from accusing Matt Gaetz of being a tubby today, Dom. And I got to tell you, that hits a little close to home.
Yeah. Why do you resemble that remark, Michael?
Derek Van Orden, according to the Raw story, one of my favorite aggregators, Derek Van Orden reportedly got into a heated discussion today with rebellious members of his caucus who've been trying to block foreign aid from passing. CNN's Haley Talbot reports that Van Orden grew frustrated with Matt Gaetz and his fellow hardliners who have spent months derailing aid packages to American allies, Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. Mostly just cares about the Israel. DVO called Gates tubby and a fiery scrum, reported Talbot. Now, you should hear what Dom calls me off air sometimes. GOP Rep. Derek Van Orden entered the 20-minute heated floor conversation as it was going and dared his right-wing colleagues to move on the motion to oust Mike Johnson. In an interview with Punchbowl News, Micah Solner, Derek Van Orden confirmed he got into a confrontation with Matt Gaetz and his allies because he's tired of having to deal with them. You know, we're kind of tired of having to deal with you, Derek Van Orden.
Right, there's an election coming up.
Here's what Van Orden told the reporter from the Punchbowl News. Matt Gaetz just wants to be on the TV. They're holding up foreign aid and not governing. I'm not okay with that. Surprised he didn't throw in a couple of F-bombs, Tom. The fight over the foreign aid package has been brewing for months with Marjorie Taylor Greene making nonstop threats to House Speaker Mike Johnson should he pass an aid package for the Ukraine, which for more than 2 years has been trying to fend off an invasion from Russia. And so far, Marjorie Taylor Greene has only gotten one other Republican to sign on to her motion to vacate. But many other members of the House Freedom Caucus are also now in an uproar over Johnson's plan to move ahead with aid packages, despite not having secured any additional funding for border security. That money's coming from Mexico, boys. Negotiators in the U.S. Senate earlier this year unveiled a bipartisan immigration reform package that would have included a significant boost to border funding, but Johnson and other House Republicans rejected it after former President Donald Trump falsely claimed the deal would allow for open borders. That's why we can't have anything nice around here.
It doesn't matter if it's true or not. That's what the Messiah says. So you follow the Messiah. Curdy, Lawrence Andra in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has a little more detail on this exchange between Van Orden and the group that was on the floor.
You tell me.
Van Orden approached the group on the floor Thursday and dared them to file the motion.
I double dog dare you.
Later telling the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel he was attempting to call their bluff. A quote from Van Orden. They've been trying to blackmail the Republican conference now for a long time. Just do it. Show the American people who you really are. The American people can't really see what takes place all the time. What they can see is the motion to vacate, trying to get rid of the speaker, he said. And it'll show their true colors because they are not here to legislate. They are not serious legislators, says Van Orden. The most serious guy. He's so serious, he called Matt Gaetz tubby during an interaction, a jab he said he leveled after Gaetz called him a squish as they huddled on the floor. Van Orden said he took the insult to mean that he was a soft person. Conservatives sometimes use the word to disparage other Republicans as less conservative. So apparently the squish. If a Republican calls you squish, it means you're not as conservative as they are. That's the insult.
What if they call you an incel or a cuck? Because they throw these terms around really only within their own vernacular. Like, I've never heard that term. I've never called anyone a squish. Have you ever used that squish term?
No, I have not. But we are now. Here's some more from Van Orden. I said people who have not been to combat and been shot at and who've held one of their friends' hands as they died probably shouldn't be calling other people squishes. Van Orden, a retired Navy SEAL, said. And then he did it again. And I said something along the lines of, stow it, tubby. In the interview, Van Orden called Gaetz a bully and added, the only way to stop a person from bullying you is to push back hard. Gaetz, for his part, Crudy told reporters the interaction with Van Orden was puzzling and concerning. And he said Van Orden was demanding they file the motion to vacate in an unhinged way. Really? Van Orden being unhinged? Who would have thought?
It's pretty bad when Matt Gaetz is calling you unhinged.
Right. Gaetz, who has not signed on to Green's motion to oust Johnson, called the motion to vacate something that could put the conference in peril. But he said he did not want to surrender that accountability tool, particularly in a time when we are seeing America's interests subjugated to foreign interests abroad. The only thing I gleaned from it is that Mr. Van Orden is not a particularly intelligent individual.
I've also gleaned that.
So there's the back and forth. I think he views the Ukraine issue very differently than we do. We're worried about America's border. He seems to be more worried about Ukraine's, referring to Johnson in this regard.
Dominic, a little bit more from the Journal Sentinel. Johnson's proposal released this week is largely similar to the Senate package, but breaks the supplemental aid into three separate bills for each region. A fourth bill includes legislation that would ban TikTok, you know, because Wisconsin Republican Mike Gallagher wants that, Dom. And some Republicans on the right flank, including Gates, oppose the package, pointing out there's no policy included that addresses the U.S.-Mexico border. Johnson, the speaker, not the other bad senator from Wisconsin, Rojo, this week expressed urgency to get additional support to Ukraine as supporters of the aid warn Ukraine is running out of supplies. Now, here is what Gates said. I think that he views the Ukraine issue very differently than we do. We're worried about the American border. He seems to be more worried about Ukraine's. Van Orden, however, has been consistently critical of some members of the far-right Freedom Caucus since he successfully ousted former Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Well, they did. He said he approached the group Thursday to support Johnson, saying, "Everybody needs a swim, buddy." These statements these Republicans are making, Dom, they've got me. I'm having a hard time taking them seriously.
But well, don't be so squishy.
Will you be my swim buddy a little bit more? Matt Gaetz is working actively along with Bob Good and Chip Roy. They're working actively to subvert the ability for President Trump to have the ability to govern when he gets elected. How are they going to? Never mind. Who cares? Yeah. Really? Do you need to hear more? He had me at swim buddy. More devils. We'll be back. We'll show you our true colors on the other side. Beautiful. Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. How did our eyes get so red? And what the hell is on Joey's head? Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You know, Dom, sometimes I've got to play the Maddox song, like the Nickelback. Do you remember when Mike Lindell, the election denier and guy that introduced the fine state Senate campaign at Tim Rantham earlier today? Do you remember when he made this statement? I will pay anyone $5 million that can prove that this is not proof of election fraud or whatever he said.
Yeah.
And as it turned out, it was effectively gobbledygook, and someone with a little technical experience
proved it
and tried to claim the $5 million.
Yes.
Well, yesterday my ass was writing checks that my mouth couldn't cash, Dom. Smaller denomination, however, it wasn't $5 million. It was $5. Yesterday on the big show, I said, anyone that can provide me photographic evidence that Donald Trump went to Eric, and I specifically said Eric's graduation, I would owe them $5. Well, I haven't seen the photos, Dom, but I feel relatively confident that this is a verified source. Frank Runyon on the Twitterverse said, FYI, Donald Trump attended his son Eric Trump's high school graduation in 2002. How do I know? I was there. We were classmates at the Hill School. Now, who would admit that? You know, like Eric Trump was their buddy or classmate? I get
it. Yeah, sure. But come on, man. I mean, did he post the photograph? Because I wouldn't be so, you know, eager to give up your $5, man. That might be a drink you could buy me.
Well, if that guy's going to have to get behind evidence. Monopoly Paul, that guy I bet $100 in Columbus, Ohio. I owe him $100 too. Don't have a lot of debts in this world, but Monopoly Paul and apparently this Runyon guy, I'm going to have to owe you.
Well, but we know the Badgers did not cover that game, Michael, but we do not know. All those guys claimed it on Twitter. He hasn't provided the photographic evidence, right?
That is true.
So, I mean, I got you, man.
I owe you nothing. But, you know, I specifically said, you know, this would be a reflection of the bad parenting. Not knowing the Teletubbies theme and not attending your kid's graduation are the sure telltale signs of bad parenting.
Teletubbies theme is not required for good parenting. In fact, if you watch, let your kids watch Teletubbies, I question your judgment, sir.
Well, that's not why they called you Tubby earlier in life, but...
Squish.
Anyways, I think I got that one wrong. Maybe.
Maybe.
Trump did go to Eric's graduation.
I mean, it's being said, but we still don't have the proof.
I think they suspected that at the time that was as far as Eric was going to advance in life. Like, that might be his biggest milestone.
That may have been his peak. I think they all peaked about then.
Dom, I got to tell you, though, I did have a good belly laugh earlier today. And so rarely, you know, you talk about laughing out loud. And I know you do it because I prompt you to do it. Either you think my joke's funny or, you know, it goes over like a lead balloon. And either way, I know I'm going to get a good hearty laugh out of you. But Dom, seldom am I reading, prepping for the show, and I see a statement that just makes me literally laugh out loud, bust a gut. And this statement did today. I'd like to share it with you. I know I shared it with the audience earlier in hour number one. If you didn't know, we do 3 hours now. But here's the headline. It involves one of your buddies, Dom. Election denier Tim Rantham has launched a campaign for Wisconsin's 20th Senate District. And how does one launch an auspicious campaign for state Senate after failing as a gubernatorial candidate? Well, of course, with an intro from the MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell. Still owes that $5 million, I bet. Yeah, there are a few.
A lot more than that.
Pending defamation things. He's had the eviction thing, and, you know, he's said a few things about the election being stolen, but that, of course, is the appeal as far as your buddy Ram Jam's concerned. Dom, one of Wisconsin's most prominent purveyors of election conspiracy theories, is running for another seat in the state legislature after a failed run for governor, and it claims that he was shunned by his colleagues in the state assembly.
Oh, come on. Really? I mean, there's... What's her name still there, right?
Sortwell's still his friend, and probably Janelle Branchen.
Branchen's still there.
The alleged felon.
For the record, when we were in the Capitol, when the Republicans were putting up their COVID Christmas tree several years ago, it was Ram Jam who went and called the cops on us, man.
It was. We have history with this guy. I did like to point out that, you know, he wears all the colors of Bennington. His shirt's like he bought out the Chess King. He's got all the colors under the rainbow that he wears. Very colorful.
Very sort. Flamboyant gentleman.
Flamboyant. That's a nice way of putting it.
Yes, indeed.
Stylish. Not a descriptor you'd hear. Here's what
I'll
he said.
I'll jump in here, Cody.
Yeah, please Tim do.
Ramthan. We call him Ram Jam around here. A Republican from Campbellsport served in the assembly from 2019 to 23 and competed. He competed, Crudy, in the 2022 GOP gubernatorial primary.
Well, after running, someone had to finish last.
After running a campaign rooted in an illegal and impossible push to revoke Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes for President Joe Biden, he finished third in the primary with 6% of the vote.
6% strong showing, Ram Jam.
Jesse Poyne writing in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, but this is the quote, man.
I got to tell you, this one cracked me up. Yeah, a bit. I know,
right person, right role, right time. It's Tim time. Rampton declared when he launched his gubernatorial campaign following an introduction from MyPillow founder and election denier, should say fellow election denier, Mike Lindell.
It's Tim time, Dom. I miss Tim time.
We were, you know, of course, talking about this when he ran for governor, but I don't remember this particular, you know, logo. Right person, right role, right time. It's Tim time. Oh, man. Tim time at 6%. Tim time. It's adventure time. It's not Tim time.
I've lived on Dom time before, which is like 45 minutes late.
Hey, you know, ever since I've been on the radio crew for these last 12, 13 years, I got to tell you, I'm very rarely late for anything these days.
Rarely. Except the radio show occasionally. No, I've seen you come back late for segments.
I come at my scheduled time, young man. No, it's like, I mean, you know, mics are on. You got to be ready to go. A time clock means something these days. But Tim time, no, Tim.
Well,
no.
That's old verbiage from Ram Jam. Here's what he had to say today in his statement, Tom. Given that the voice of the people is the voice of God, their wishes have touched my heart. What? As such, with thoughtful discussion and deep prayer, it became crystal clear that action was required. It has not been an easy decision in any way. However, to that end, I humbly announce my candidacy for Wisconsin's new 20th Senate District in 2024. He's God's chosen vessel, Dom.
Well, I don't understand. Given, quote, given that the voice of the people is the voice of God. Well, I mean, is that a given? Is the voice of the people the voice of God?
He's trying to explain or rationalize away the voices he hears, Tom.
It's like, it's the Kill 'Em Tiny show. Their wishes have touched my heart. So God or the people, I'm not clear. I guess given the voice of God. All right. So maybe the people, the voice of the people have touched his heart. And after much thoughtful discussion and deep, and I would emphasize very deep prayer, it became crystal clear that Ram Jam wants to be your state senator. It's Tim time, baby. I love this idea. This is a great idea.
Dom, here's what I appreciate. I don't think you appreciate God's sense of humor. He always encourages these Republicans to run in their prayers, right?
Yeah, come on.
Like Scott Walker and Tim Ram Jam. I mean, you've got to admit, if this is the prayers that God is answering, he's got a sense of humor.
I mean, come on, man. What a joke. No one's like, I spoke to God and they said I should be a barista. You know, why is it always, after much thought and deep prayer, I'm going to be a firefighter? I mean, what, dude? It's always these politicians that talk to God and then decide, yep, this is, God wants me to do this. I mean, from my perspective, but no one's going to the coffee shop, man.
Dom, I went to the coffee shop earlier today. A couple of Irish coffees. Hit me great. Whenever I go, it's like, well, I don't drink it for the coffee as much as the Irish.
So you went to the bar.
No, I went to the coffee house and had some liquor. Dom, more quote from Ram Jam.
Oh, please.
Very important stuff.
Yes.
He's talking about the new legislative maps and the newly cast 20th Senate district, right? And here's what Ram Jam had to say. Your buddy, it's Tim time. Well, here's what he said. This is the opportunity the electorate prayed for. You know, literally, I think many people were praying for fair maps because under the prior gerrymandered maps, there wasn't much small D democracy going on in this state.
Well, it wasn't.
I would show you example A, Tim Ram Jam.
It wasn't prayers that gave us new maps. It wasn't God coming down and giving us new maps. It was the newly elected Supreme Court Justice with her help, Protasiewicz and the other liberals on the court gave us these maps.
Yeah, but he would have given us the decertification of the 2020 election left to his druthers. Now, let me complete this very important statement from your buddy Ram Jam. You know, I hate when you interrupt as such. This is the opportunity for the electorate prayed for a new choice. The best choice for whom they choose to represent needed transparency and truth within the legislature. And he brings that truth to them, apparently.
The election denier who wanted to impossibly and illegally overturn the last election has talked to God, and now he's going to be in the run for the Wisconsin State Senate 20th District because the new district maps were prayed for by the people who are the voice of God. Yep, got it. Great.
And Trump's his guy, because that's God's chosen vessel. 844-967-2789. Let's get it started. Mark from SAC, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Mark.
Well, that's pretty funny that he thinks he's hearing God's voice, because in the past, it's something that's kind of sent you off to jail. I mean, or not jail, it's the mental institution, but... If you hear those kind of voices.
Hey, let's not make fun of candidate Rantham's schizophrenia, please, Mark.
I mean, that's what got Joan of Arc burned at the stake because she claimed she was hearing from God. And I'd believe Joan of Arc before, far before, but I believe Ram Jam was just doing it for some kind of political ploy. That it's just, these guys are just all nuts. I mean, it's staggering. You know, you hear this, you know, listen on the phone here, listening to, you know, more and more of the story, you just realize that, you know, good grief, I could do that job as well as they could. I mean, but I would hope
you would have more self-respect than, let's say, the aforementioned Tim Ramcham, though, Mark.
I certainly would. I mean, that, you know, what it originally called in is all these threats to the jurors. The jurors worry about threats. That I kind of shifted gears listening to the conversation. But I think for the judge should just come out and say that anybody who threatens a juror, who just the least threat that comes out there, either coming from the press, from the right wing media sphere, is going to be charged with threatening a juror, and they're going to go to jail. If you're trying to suborn the jury by saying that if I got on the jury, I'd do this, I'd do that. No, that's just to fly in the face of our judicial system, and you need to be charged with something.
Well, Mark,
go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was only going to say the judge, Bershon, may have more control over the, you know, let's say, defendant Trump and throwing his ass in Rikers for a week or two, you know, just some cool as heels, thinks it's cold in that courthouse. But, Dom, I think probably less power to control what Jesse Waters says on the Foxy News. First Amendment and all.
And all. Thanks for the call, Mark. Appreciate it. 844-967-2789. Tim time. I just want to reiterate and remind everyone that guy who spoke to God and all that, he's the one to call the cops on us, man. And then we eventually, of course, they dismissed the charges because our fine attorney, well, we wanted to get subpoena all the false electors, right?
Big Trump.
They were
electors.
In the same building we were. And then they decided to drop the administrative violations against us.
Disparate outcomes under law. Where is our 60 Minutes interview?
Right, Andrew Hitt.
Come
Tim
back.
Time.
It's Crudy and Dom time. And you, 844-967-2789.
The devil's advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
Lord, I was born a rambling
man. And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Join us on the lines, 844-967-2789. Sent this one out to you guys. Allman Brothers Band co-founder and legendary guitarist Dickie Betts dies at 80 years old. Damn, all my rock stars are dying on me, man. How could that possibly be? I'm still in my mid-20s, I swear.
It was funny when you sent the, and we're going to need the Black Betty, the Ram Jam.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what you were talking about till I saw the statement from State Senate candidate Tim Rantham here in the state of Wisconsin. We've got history, and he's got a theme song.
Yeah.
And apparently, Dom.
It's going to be fun.
Yes, here is what's being said on our text line. We appreciate when you text. We appreciate when you call it 844-967-2789. One texter says, Derek Van Orden calling somebody else a bully is rich. Oh, it's rich. Pot meat kettle. Yes. And here's another one. Dom, it was our new judge who gave us fair maps. That would be just as pro to say what's to you, Dom. It was the voters who voted for her. You know, the people. The voice of God.
If we are the people, does that mean I am the people? You and me, we are people, and we have voices. Are we the voice of God?
And then there's the Chuckster from Racine. He might be God. If anyone accuses you of being God, you say yes. Chuckster says, blasphemous rumors, Depeche Mode, when wondering about God's sense of humor. Well, if he told Tim Rantham to run, and of course, he's been torturing Scott Walker, telling him he was presidential material. And when you go to pray, and, you know, these conservatives, they always claim, you know, I prayed on it, and God told me to run, Scott Walker, run. But 71 days later, what was God telling you then? That he had a sense of humor.
I mean, maybe God was on a bender for a couple of months and realized what he said and took it all back.
It's almost like they're twisting God's words sometimes.
Maybe.
Well, that's the accusation.
Someone would actually use religion as a false basis for political advancement. I'm shocked, I tell you. Next thing you're going to tell me there's gambling in Casablanca.
Dom, I was actually going to pivot because here at the headline, again, I find myself sourcing the raw story. They're twisting my words, says GOP Senate candidate, denying saying elderly people shouldn't vote. No, they're just going to die soon, and therefore they shouldn't vote.
Right. Oh, man, this guy.
He said it more than once. He doubled down on this concept. Here is how it's being reported. Wisconsin Senate candidate Eric Hudvey, you know, the pornstachioed guy, is unhappy that the media is covering his proliferation of MAGA election conspiracy theories. Yeah, I hate when they tell the truth about me. In a new video posted to the Twitter, Hudvey, a banking and real estate development executive, challenging Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin, complained that the news outlets were mischaracterizing his past statements about voting in nursing homes, implying that he was saying senior citizens shouldn't be allowed to vote. Well, I did take that away from the words he clearly said, Dom. In reality, he said, he was casting doubt that all senior citizens who voted in 2020 actually did so.
That's not at all what he said.
Let me tell you how political hit jobs work, and Democrats are experts at this, said Hudvey. So last week in some news article, well, it actually was the sound of your voice, sir. We used the tape. There was written, and also the news article sourced the sound of you speaking. You were quoted directly. We played the soundbite, Hudvey. There were written that I don't believe elderly people should be able to vote. How did that come about? Because I absolutely believe elderly should vote. Probably thinks they should vote for him, Dom. Here's the actual statement. Hudvey continued, was purely about election integrity issues. And this got spread out of control through Democratic-controlled phony news organizations. It's patently false. It's fundamentally wrong. That's what Hudvey says, Dom. The remarks at issue came from an interview Hudvey gave on the Guy Benson Show. Well, don't go on Guy's show. First reported by left-leaning Heartland Signal. I know some friends over there, Dom, where he said, and here is the quote, we had nursing homes where the sheriff of Racine investigated where you had 100% voting in nursing homes. Now, that's been dispelled. That didn't really happen. The only nursing home that had like 100% turnout had 12 residents, right, Dom?
Yes.
One singular nursing home had 100% turnout. In some cases, it was as low as like 40%.
Correct.
But he never corrected the record on any of that, the falsehoods he was spewing. But anyways, back to the quote. Well, if you're in a nursing home, you only have 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote. So your logic is they're close to death, 5 to 6 month life expectancy, and therefore they're not mentally capable, so near death, Dom, of weighing the consequences, or maybe they're not going to live long enough to see the consequences of their vote. I'm not sure what would prevent them from voting. Now, Hudvey did not explicitly say senior citizens shouldn't be allowed to vote. However, his remarks disparaging the idea that most nursing home residents are of sound mind to vote in the first place generated widespread controversy and anger in the local press.
I didn't say they couldn't vote. I said they shouldn't vote. See if they see the big difference there. And I want them to vote, but they're so close to death, they don't have the mental capacity to do so. So while I didn't say they should certainly not vote, they shouldn't because, quote, almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote. I'm not sure it's a great defense.
Dom, the claim that nursing homes in Wisconsin had a 100% voting rate is a conspiracy theory pushed by former President Donald Trump's allies, see Dan O'Donnell and Right Wing Talk Radio, that has already been debunked. Voter turnout amongst nursing home residents in 2020 was completely in line with typical numbers, and the Racine County DA declined to file any charges in the investigation. So when you reference an investigation, that would seem to imply something was found. This was more like, you know, a Comer impeachment effort. No, they're nothing burger. Oh, yeah, except you were held accountable, Eric Hudvey, for your words. You're being recorded all the time, sir. When you're doing an interview, that's a live microphone in front of your face. Be careful what you say, Eric. Someone might hold it against you.
Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote, quote unquote.
Come back. Devils Advocates Radio Show. You're all at the point where you're going to start dialing 844-967-2789. Then grab a cocktail and come on back. It's a happier, happy hour indeed.